Shalom, Australia. Nashat Milham, the gunman who killed three Israelis a week previously in Tel Aviv, was shot and killed by Israeli forces in an exchange of fire on Friday afternoon. He was located near his home in the Wadi Ara area and killed at about 4:20 p.m. It is now confirmed that in addition to the two he killed at the Dizengoff Street bar, Milham also murdered taxi driver Ayman Shaban from Lod. Milham was tracked down to the building where he was hiding out. He spotted the armed forces encircling the building and attempted to flee when they burst in. Forces from an elite police unit and the Shin Bet had sought to capture him alive, but were fired on by Milham using the same weapon he used for last Friday's shootings. A witness, Hakim Yunus, said that he saw the shooting start, hundreds of bullets like in a war. The family has set up a mourning tent and are refusing to talk to the media. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defence Minister Moshe Yaalon and other Israeli leaders praised the security forces for the operation. For the first part of the week, it was widely believed that Milham was hiding out in the Ramat Aviv section of Tel Aviv. The city was in a state of semi-shutdown, with 50% of parents choosing not to send their children to school or kindergarten where there are no armed guards. Even later in the week, when police announced that they believed the murderer had left the city, residents were not confident that their children were safe. Herzliya was also in a state of panic on Tuesday when a man from East Jerusalem neighborhood of Tzur Baha, who had left his family saying he planned to carry out an attack, was spotted in the area. He was caught on the corner of Sokolov and Ahad Ha'am streets. The Shin Bet announced on Thursday that a Hamas terror cell that planned to kidnap and kill Israeli citizens was discovered in December. Members of the group from Jerusalem and Hebron had planned to use the corpses of their victims to negotiate the release of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. The cell was in the advanced planning stages and had begun preparing the place where they would store the bodies of the kidnapped person or persons. They were led by Maher Kawazme, a 36-year-old from Hebron, who was previously imprisoned for 2 years for helping plan terror attacks for Hamas. Ziad Abu Hadwan, a 20-year-old resident of Jerusalem's Old City, was another leader of the cell. Hadwan was released from prison in October, having been locked up for taking part in violent protests on the Temple Mount. The Jerusalem District Attorney's Office filed an indictment on Friday against Hazam Ziad Amram Sadulka, a 22-year-old from Jerusalem, and Fadi Daoud Mohammed Abu Kain, a 19-year-old Bedouin Israeli from the Negev, along with Hamas activist Ahmed Jamal Musa Azam, 24, charging that they planned to explode explosives at the Jerusalem Pius Arena at a time when Prime Minister Netanyahu would be scheduled to speak at the site. The indictment noted that Azam operated a makeshift laboratory in Abu Dis, which was being used to create the explosives necessary for bombing attacks. The Be'er Sheva District Court on Thursday sentenced Mohammed Abu Alkian, a 28-year-old father of five, a primary school teacher from the Bedouin town of Hura in the south, to 4 years in prison for forming a group that planned to join the Islamic State. He was convicted of teaching children and mosque-goers content inspired by ISIS. Alkian admitted to the charges and of planning to leave Israel on the pretext of a pilgrimage to Mecca, but with the true goal of joining ISIS fighters in Syria. The Supreme Court unanimously rejected an appeal by celebrity Rabbi Yoshua Pinto on Tuesday against his one-year jail sentence for bribery, attempted bribery, and obstruction of justice, in a case that embroiled senior officers within the Israeli police's National Anti-Corruption Unit. The three judges instructed Pinto to be at jail at 10 a.m. on February the 16th. In May, Pinto was sentenced to a year's prison and a 1 million shekel fine after the rabbi, a Kabbalist with a sizable and influential international following, pleaded guilty as part of a plea bargain. The Jerusalem District Court on Wednesday indicted two Israeli teens who beat a Palestinian goat herd in his 50s so roughly that he lost consciousness. The two minors, now aged 15 and 18, were near the northern West Bank settlement of Kochav HaShachar when they spotted the shepherd. They and five others forced him to leave the area. Covering their faces with shirts and wearing gloves, the teens took crowbars with knives attached to them and beat him until he fell to the ground unconscious. They were charged with aggravated assault and illegal possession of a knife. Mohammed Abu Mariam, 23, and Saeed Abu Alwapu, 38, were shot dead attempting to stab IDF soldiers early yesterday morning. Both soldiers involved were uninjured in the incident near the West Bank settlement of Bekaot, near east of Nablus. Egyptian security forces are hunting for over a dozen individuals who shot fireworks and rubber bullets at Israeli Arab tourists at a hotel close to the Giza pyramids, causing some damage to the hotel's facade and tourist buses parked nearby. The tourists were a group of 32 from the northern town of Umm El Farm and 8 from Jaffa. No one was hurt in the attack. Ruti Terani, 54, was driving the 129 bus from Tel Aviv to Petah Tikva on Tuesday when passengers began complaining about an elderly Arab man who started talking to himself in Arabic shortly after they passed the Dizengoff Center, not far from where last week's shooting took place. The passengers suspected he was a terrorist and demanded she remove the man from the bus. Terani approached the man, asked him if he needed assistance, and discerned that he was feeling ill and didn't pose a threat to anybody. She informed passengers that she had no intention of removing the man from the bus and would continue on the route. If they wanted to get off the bus, they were welcome to. Half the passengers got off the bus at that point. Terani, a 3-year employee with Dan Public Transportation, said, "I'm aware of the current security situation, but there's a limit to everything. Here in the company, everyone's equal, Jews and Arabs. My upbringing was to respect everyone and not discriminate against anyone." The Dan company said it considered Tehrani's behavior a model and an example. "It's a great pride for us as a company and for all the drivers and public in general." Several days earlier, a group of Jewish Israeli passengers forced Greek airline Aegean Airways to remove 2 Arab Israelis from a flight from Athens to Tel Aviv. During the incident last Sunday, the Israelis stood up and prevented the flight from taking off. The Arab passengers were offered a night in a hotel at the airline's expense and were promised seats on a flight to Israel the following morning. Aegean said, "While it is indeed unfortunate that they were possibly racially profiling the customers, indeed their fellow Israelis, safety must be first." There was a spat during the past week between former U.S. Ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk and Prime Minister Netanyahu over whether Netanyahu called Prime Minister Rabin a hero at the assassinated leader's funeral. Netanyahu denies that he had said that had Rabin not been assassinated, he would have been viewed as a failed politician. Yifat Ben-Ari, the widow of a Jerusalem man killed by errant police fire at Jerusalem's Jaffa Gate on December the 23rd, sat down on Tuesday with the 2 police officers who accidentally killed her husband, telling them she didn't blame them and that they had acted correctly in a complicated situation. In an emotional meeting, she told the 2 female border policewomen that they were like daughters to her. About 1,000 people attended the funeral on Thursday at Jerusalem's Mount Herzl Military Cemetery of Captain Yishai Rosales, 23, who was killed in an accident during a military training exercise in southern Israel on Tuesday. The Rosales family, Olim from Mexico, made an appeal on Wednesday evening for the public to attend, explaining that they had few family members in Israel. When National Security Advisor Yossi Cohen becomes the head of Mossad on Wednesday, he will make history. The first Mossad chief to have grown and operated in the organization throughout all his years of activity, commanding Tzomet, the organization's biggest department, which is responsible for recruiting and operating agents. Cohen will be making further history as for the first time, a head of the National Security Council is being promoted to a higher position and is not ending his career in that position. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from a cold but clear Jerusalem.